Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Every day there's failure, but failure is what makes you successful. And people have to understand that you have to fail to in order to be successful. You have to know, and you have to have the drive to get through it. And you have to know that mistake, okay, you learn from it and you move on from it and you grow from it. It's just experience.
I'm Sally Christensen, the founder and CEO of Argent, a women's workwear brand. And this is Work Friends, a podcast for those who take their work, but not always themselves, seriously.
Work Friends.
Today on Work Friends, I am joined by Jennifer Fisher. Jennifer is the founder and chief brand officer of her eponymous jewelry brand, Jennifer Fisher. A success out of the gate, the brand's been around for over 20 years now and has become synonymous with its signature accessories, including personalized dog tags and hoop earrings, eventually earning Jennifer the nickname from the New York Times as Queen of Hoops. But it's not only the incredible products, and I am wearing some today and I'm obsessed, that draw people to this brand or its founder. Jennifer has grown her business into a lifestyle brand with her personal story at the forefront, from health and wellness to the realities of running a business and being a mother. Her offerings have expanded as well. There's a line of seasoning salt she developed, and as of last fall, a cookbook of anti-inflammatory recipes called Trust Your Gut, and an online platform to share more wellness stories and resources called Maiden. As a founder, Jennifer has broken the mold, and I'm so excited to share more about why and how on today's episode. Now on Work Friends, Jennifer Fisher. Jennifer, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. I've been obsessed from afar. I'm very grateful. You've been so supportive.
I love your stuff. That satin suit. I mean, everyone's like, is it Tom Ford or is it? I'm like, it's Argent.
I'm so grateful.
Everyone loves, and it's so comfortable.
Thank you.
And so is this.
Thank you.
And I really wanted a new velvet tuxedo, so thank you.
I also am obsessed with your business, so it's fun to just, I'm excited to hear about your story. And we're going to get into it, but before we do, I want to start with a little icebreaker. Can you tell us about your biggest oh no moment this past week? What's gone absolutely sideways, and how did you handle it?
What we were talking before. You know, it's challenging with deliveries and timelines. And so we had a little hiccup with some deliveries, which are never fun for businesses.
And, how'd you handle it?
You just problem solve. You push things. You know, there are some things that were meant to go live online that had to push to next week. There's certain things that, you know, warehousing, you know, there's always something. Systems, if, you know, some SKU is off in one way or anything, you know how it is.
I actually really appreciate this. We've had a tough time with customs in the last 6 months, maybe. Every shipment is taking 3 to 4 weeks longer than it historically has.
What's the timeline normally?
Usually it's about a week to get product.
That's great.
We're shipping it by air, which, sorry, but it's typically a week, and now it's been taking 5 weeks. Everything's been held up.
Anything custom too, it's really hard. Like, my custom stuff is made in New York. We tried it overseas and it was too long of a lead time. It's just with customs and gold and the gold market and everything, it's challenging. So we're bringing most of it back to New York, which is great.
Yeah, we do some in New York, but it's never ending is what I'm hearing in your response, which I don't love. And it's like, it's so typical founder
Everybody's
story.
Going through it.
All
Everybody.
The time.
Like, just know you're not alone.
All the time. I think if customers are listening, please have some grace. Because I feel like we get beaten. up a lot over everything. I'm trying.
No, my poor customer service girl and my people in my stores, it's so hard. We're trying. We're doing our best.
To take away, we really are trying, and we're really very aware of the problems. I think that's the other thing.
But what also is, it's sort of, you know, the transition listening and things, there's, you know, we're trying to improve those times too, which is great. So, you know, some of the problems that we had before, bringing it back where you don't have those problems any longer, we can deliver in 4 weeks custom now, which we couldn't before. So it's like, you know, all of those things. So
same.
You find it. It's sort of like there's a reason why you go through some of these things and you don't realize until you get back to where you should be.
It's that incremental improvement. It's the same that last year we moved 3PL, so shipping facilities, mm-hmm. which was so brutal. Like it was the most painful undertaking that we've ever done. But then we introduced like overnight shipping and rush shipping and expedited and all the things. I'm like, this is the best thing ever. And it's such a small thing, but these are like the small wins we're looking for all the time.
No, but they're huge for businesses. I mean, we were our 3PL. We were warehousing our stuff during COVID and I was shipping goods. Like, I mean, I could go into that like that before we went into warehousing and had partners and things. So, I mean, it's... You don't know until you're there and you realize why. So
I love having founders on. Oh my God, I can't wait. Okay, so I want to start at the beginning though. So you grew up in California, Santa Barbara.
I did.
Can you talk about, you know, what it was like growing up in that environment and coming of age there?
Well, I was there. I grew up in Montecito before it was like, you know, Spielberg and Oprah land and everybody, you know, famous lived there from Los Angeles as like their beautiful weekend place, which it is. And that's great that they're there. But when I was there, it was a sleepy beach town and my parents traveled a lot. And I realized at a very young age that I was an entrepreneur. They'd go out of town. I would have one of the girls from Brooks Institute or one of the schools kind of babysit me for the weekend and I would start a business. And by the time my parents would get home, I was like, you know, hawking avocados on the side of the street for my friend's backyard, or I was like, you know, making button earrings and selling them, trying to sell them to stores. So it was good that it was kind of like the sleepy town. And I just had always been into like, you know, since a young age, like it was, we knew I was going to be an entrepreneur in some way.
What age are we talking?
I was very young. I was making like caterpillar barrettes. It was like, remember those woven caterpillar, you know, you put a little caterpillar and the eyeballs on it. And I was going to stores trying to sell them. I mean, I was like 6 years old. I
we
was really young.
Like, such good friends. I was the exact same. I grew up on a farm and all I wanted were like neighbors so I could put out like a lemonade stand. So I'd
right.
go with my dad to work right. and just like open it. But then I was also selling everything imaginable.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted was to work.
Yeah, me too. Same thing. I was like, this is boring. I don't want to go and play at the beach. I want to go and start a business and see what we can do. I was crafty. I was like, I loved making things and it was great to grow up there, but I always felt like I needed to get out. I
Same.
Always felt like I needed to leave. But what's interesting is I ended up going to USC and I went to Marshall and I studied business marketing there. And then being in LA, I sort of had to get out of LA. It was like, I was always craving coming to New York City. Like I always felt like I needed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I do love going back to California, but it's so slow compared to being here.
Yeah,
it's
agree,
very
completely.
Different.
It's so funny.
I meant to be here.
It's so I feel the exact same way. I'm from South Carolina, but like when I go back, I have to really like take a minute to adjust to the pace,
yeah.
you know. And
yeah.
I've always growing up, I was just always like that same energy.
Mm-hmm.
My dream, because computers weren't what computers are, was like to have a stapler. Like all I wanted was like a stapler and a stack of papers and like to sell whatever, anything that needs to be sold. In terms of work, what were early inspirations of work? Was it your parents? Were you seeing like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my father was a car dealer. My father had, you know, the Chevrolet on the side of the road with the flags. Like he was like, he had a Chevrolet dealership in Santa Barbara and he was selling specialty cars. And, you know, it was like, it was either like Ferraris or then it was refrigeration trucks. And it was like always things, but he was a serial entrepreneur. And he would also buy like Spanish homes and estates and redo them and flip them. And so we were kind of this family that was doing all kinds of things. Like my dad was always in construction on something and we were kind of moving into different houses. And it's so funny, I was always into fashion. And so this one house, my mom got me a subscription to Vogue when I was very young. And I was like, things were never perfect. I was always going to like LA to try to find things in vintage stores. I was always trying to change something about what I wore. And I literally wallpapered my walls with Vogue magazine. And when I was young, so much so when we sold the house, they asked to keep the Vogue wallpaper in the bedroom. So to Jane Seymour, the actress, which was so weird.
No.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it was like crazy stuff like that. Yeah, I had a wild childhood. My parents would have parties and like Zsa Zsa Gabor would come and like Madonna came. Like it's crazy weird stuff. Santa Barbara was a wild place back then.
Oh, I imagine you had a lot of independence too. Like it was just, we were raised differently, you know?
I mean, our parents had no idea where we were. I mean,
all the
there
time.
Was never. We were running wild and free in Santa Barbara. It was kind of crazy the things we were doing. I mean, crazy.
Character building.
It was fun.
Yeah, so fun. I know. Yeah, it's similar and different. Like we were literally on the same different coast doing the same thing.
It teaches you though. And then my junior year of high school, I went to school in Switzerland. I went to school in Montagnola. I went to Tassis.
Cool.
Just for a year.
your decision or your parents, or how did that come about?
Well, my father was in some legal things that mm-hmm. he was on the cover of the newspaper, and it was having a hard time in school because people were sort of like, what's going on with your dad? Mm-hmm. And so my parents were like, you know what? I think you should ship out for a year, which I was like, great. I mean, I was going to like Milli Vanilli concerts in Milan and, you know, living the life, and it was really, really fun. And I think that's kind of, it made me who I am today because I had to fend for myself.
Yeah, totally.
And it was great and it was fun. And I you know, come back from that wishing that I had stayed longer. I wanted to come back to go to senior prom, and I wanted to kind of like finish high school and be back, but I regret not staying longer, actually.
That exposure at that age is so helpful too. That's it's hard to be away from home, and I think, like, you know, you're sucking it up and like figuring it out, and you have to create almost like a new set of, it's like for your friends become your family and the people that you rely on because you're so far 100%. Away from your family, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I know. I wish I still spoke to all of the girls, which I don't.
It's hard.
But I wish that I did still. I mean, it was a really fun time.
So you came back, you went to USC, studied marketing. Mm-hmm. Then you went into fashion.
Well, I thought I wanted to be the publisher of Vogue magazine. That's what I thought I wanted to be. So I took my internship at InStyle, or it was LA Style, excuse me, at the time, and would watch the racks of clothing going by. And I'm like, I am absolutely on the wrong side of this. I don't want to be on the marketing side of this selling ads. I want to be on the other side of it working in fashion. And luckily I had a friend that worked at Propaganda Films. And at the time, it was like Michael Bay and Antoine Fuqua, like all these guys that went on to be big movie directors were all commercial directors. And I started working for a couple of directors there. The first one of which he's like, okay, kid, you have no experience. You F this up. You'll never work in this town again. And then I went on to be a stylist for 10 years. I never had an agent or a manager. I was just from relationships and word of mouth. And at one point I was styling, I'd have, you know, three different sets, you know, Amex, Bud Light, whatever we were doing. And I had sets of assistants on different sets doing multiple jobs at a time. I worked for Aaron Spelling for a bit, which is another interesting story too. So it was fun. It was great. I loved it.
Incredible. I mean, yeah. It has to be filled with stories in and of itself.
I have so many stories.
Well, styling is one of those things too that's so hard because it's just really high touch, and it's like you have to figure things out and last minute oftentimes, and you're schlepping and like you're just doing a lot.
Well, people don't realize, and that's why I think we've been so successful in placement of a lot of celebrity jewelry and you know, red carpet, because I know what stylists need and I make sure that they have what they need. So, you know, jewelry is sort of an afterthought for a lot of outfits, and it's sort of the last thing that they do. But if they have things that they need and they have, you know, Jennifer Fisher there, you know, and enough of it, we're probably going to fit some hole that they're looking to fill if it's not an advertiser. I mean, things have changed now, obviously. It's very, very different. And it's hard to get covers of magazines now because it is mostly advertisers. But, you know, sometimes you get lucky. And honestly, it's better when you see J-Lo or, you know, someone on, you know, at the gym in her 2-inch threads, or you see, you know, Hailey Bieber wearing her little Hailey gold hoops, or, you know, whatever it is. That gives you more cred because they're not being styled. They're choosing to wear the jewelry themselves.
It is. It has changed so much. I mean, it continues to change just faster and faster. That part is wild.
Oh, it's a whole thing. And now that's the influence, age of influence and influencers. And it's really not about celebrities so much anymore. I mean, it is. But we were actually having this conversation yesterday on one of our PR calls about how it's shifted and how different it is. I mean, we used to. And usage and everything. It's very different.
Yeah, we were talking about this before we started recording, but it is a really interesting conversation. We are lucky because we've been so focused on professional women since mm-hmm. inception. So like our entire existence is about removing barriers for working women. I would say you're the embodiment of our brand. Yeah, I mean, listen to your story. But I think that's benefiting us in this moment in terms of what's happening, because I think mm-hmm. we're expecting like substance from our influencers now, and that's sort of what's converting.
Yeah.
But the media shift is just wild. And then AI coming in and like informing people's shopping decisions and shopping behavior.
I know. It's great. I love that. The whole AI thing is so, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, what's happening and my marketing team and how they're starting to really, really like lean into it and use it for so many things. My customer service team, like everybody, like integrated into all aspects of our website and what we do and data. And even working, you know, towards having my own AI assistant for myself to answer DMs and things in my voice. And, you know, we haven't perfected that yet, but that's what we're, you know, also working on because it's time consuming. And I do talk to everybody myself and I don't want to lose that touch.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard. Some days it's hard to get back to everybody.
I mean, I feel like I need to like offline. We probably should record it because people want to hear it. But I'm like, what are the tips? Because I feel like I've been slow going on adopting AI personally. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it is a hot topic, and like figuring out how to spin up agents that are like working for you to support you personally. Because founders too, like you're wearing a lot of hats, you're running multiple companies, like you're also, you have a family, you mm-hmm. know? And so it's like figuring out how to leverage that to your mm-hmm. advantage personally and professionally.
Yeah, I mean, but my kids are using it. You know, it's mm-hmm. my kids are fully using it. And if you're not, everybody needs to get up to speed in it. And my husband actually is someone who he's very into it. And we have Maiden now, which is my new media brand that we've yes. started, which is my new website, which sort of has all of the content. And so we're using a lot of AI for that, for everything. It's exciting.
Back to you. Sorry, I digress.
No, it's fine.
Okay, so I want to hear about the start of the Jennifer Fisher brand. I mean, a lot of it was following a really difficult health and motherhood journey starting mm-hmm. in your 30s. Can you lay the scene a bit about what you were navigating health-wise while still very young in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I was styling full time, and I got diagnosed with something called a desmoid tumor on my left chest wall that I still, to this day, I live with. It has not been resected. I went through chemotherapy for it. I went through 12 rounds of high dose methotrexate chemotherapy for it. And it worked, and it shrunk it, which was great. But then my oncologist, you know, Kevin proposed, who's my husband of 25 years in September, proposed at the time. And then we got married and we wanted to have kids. And my oncologist was like, absolutely not. You have to get a surrogate. And it was legal in the state of New York to have a surrogate carry for you at the time. It was legal in Vermont, New Jersey, Florida, and California. And Kevin grew up in Brentwood in Los Angeles. So we're like, let's do it in LA where our, you know, the grandparents are. And so we can have the baby there. We had an amazing surrogate, but unfortunately the first time she miscarried at 12 weeks and the second time at 16 weeks, but it was far, far along. We had already seen a heartbeat. So that one was kind of devastating. Mm. And then I came back here, I tried IVF, didn't work. They're like, we're sorry, something must have happened to your eggs. You're gonna have to adopt or get an egg donor. And that's when I got pregnant with Shane. And they treated it as a high-risk pregnancy. It wasn't, it was great. And I had a healthy baby boy. And when he was born, I wanted something to wear that really, you know, people were giving me gifts. And it was like, it's not really me. It's beautiful, but it's just not really me. It just feels too delicate. I wanted a heavy, long gold link, long chain. And I wanted a dog tag that said Shane, his full name. And no one was doing it. And so I went up to 47th Street being a resourceful stylist. And I knocked on doors and someone finally said yes to me. And, you know, I made this great gold dog tag and I wore it on set, and the grips and the gaffers and everybody, it was like an instant conversation piece, and everyone wanted one, but they wanted a different one. Like, my wife loves hearts, or my wife wants a moon, or any of those things. Can you do that? Sure. So I started like very basic geometric shapes, and we started doing it, and we just started to customize things, and we were hand stamping it at the time. I mean, now everything is like, it's all done by CAD and it's very different. All the waxes are done differently. But yeah, so that's how it started. I mean, one day I was styling, and I remember being on set at like 2 a.m. and I was like, I don't want to be here. And there were invoices strewn all over the bed of orders that I had to place. And Kevin was like, it's time to start a website. This is a business.
Oh, that's great.
That's how it started.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you're leveraging your experience with styling and your network from styling too. And then like, yes. I feel like there's like a modern version of that now where you have like a built-in following and you launch a brand, but there's something I feel like in that where you had that footprint to launch from, you know?
Well, I think it's, you know, relationships are everything, I think, anywhere. And I was fortunate enough that I knew Uma Thurman's hairstylist. And his name was Ryan Trick's dad. Hi, he's like amazing. He's still there. He does Kelly Rupp's hair. But he's this amazing guy. And he did my hair also. And so I made one for Uma. And she got it the day that she was shooting a Glamour magazine cover. And she wore it on the cover of Glamour. And that was very helpful.
Was there anything that gave you pause? I mean, this is in your DNA and you've been wanting to start something. Did you ever envision that it would be a jewelry brand? And maybe because you were making your Caterpillar clips, or it fell into your lap and you thought, all right, let's do it.
No, absolutely not. I didn't even wear a lot of jewelry. I collected watches. I like never even wore jewelry. No, it's so weird too. Cause I was always like, it's gotta be heavy, or it's gotta be minimal. And I never really, but I had some very cool jewelry pieces. It's funny. We sort of like, I went through all of my old jewelry at my mom's house and pulled out some interesting gems, but I was never a big jewelry person. And it's interesting. I would have thought that, well, we also missed that when I was in college, I, and right after I graduated, I had started a children's line. And it was called Blanky, and I was doing like private label to like department stores in Canada. I mean, I've just always had this hustle, mm-hmm. and I just didn't know where it would land. And mm-hmm. I'm happy it landed here, but I'm also happy that it landed in jewelry, but also that we are now branching out to all those other things.
Yeah, totally. It given the period in your life and all of your health challenges, mm-hmm. did that shift how you viewed career or ambition at all? Or
oh, absolutely. You go through something like that, you don't know if you're going to live or die. I mean, it shifts your perspective on absolutely everything in life. You know, I wake up grateful every day that I, you know, am able to live with this tumor, and that, you know, thankfully now there's also a medication that helps, you know, that can cure these tumors or can make them shrink instead of chemotherapy. So, you know, it definitely makes you grateful to be alive.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And then the shift from styling to brand founder and like going all in. Kevin gave you the push, it sounds like.
Yeah, but I've always been like that. Like, I was like, it's like the styling thing where it's like, I'm not going to assist, I'm going to own this, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be the leader. Like, yeah. I'm just very direct, and that's just my personality.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I want to talk about failure, and I'm sure this comes up a lot because everyone's talked about to founders about failure.
Yep.
And I've failed today already, I'm sure, a couple of times. But it really is an inevitability, and it's those micro failures, right? It's like, how do I ensure that nothing is fatal, especially early days when you're so vulnerable? What was one of the first significant failures or mistakes that you made? I know.
Every day, there's failure. But failure is what makes you successful. And people have to understand that you have to fail in order to be successful. You have to know, and you have to have the drive to get through it. And you have to know that mistake, okay, you learn from it and you move on from it and you grow from it.
Yes.
It's just experience. Systems, you know, there's so many different things. I mean, every day there's failure. But failure is what makes you successful. And people have to understand that you have to fail in order to be successful. You have to know, and you have to have the drive to get through it. And you have to know that mistake, okay, you learn from it and you move on from it and you grow from it.
Yes.
It's just experience.
Yes. It's what we talked about earlier. Because I'm like, to your point, customers have been with us now for a decade. I'm like, I hope that you've seen, you know, those improvements and those steps. That's what you expect to see in a business. But like, you have to, again, it's grace. Like,
it is. But also you evolve and then you make more mistakes, or you evolve and you do, you implement something and then it creates more failure, or then there's more issues that you have to deal with. And it's just, it's a constant learning. And the challenge with that is maintaining those customers while you're also going through that with your challenges on delivery, with your challenges on timeline, with your challenges on quality control and everything, managing that correctly. So it's constant. You know how it is.
I do. And that's my biggest fear is like, am I losing someone permanently?
It's my actual nightmare. Mm-hmm. I mean, 60% of our customers are returning customers.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yes, it is. But I think it probably would have been higher, if there were not a few things that happened over the last couple of years.
Even the last few years. Mm-hmm. I mean, your brand launched in 2006.
I mean, we're 20 years old. Yeah. So we've been around for a long time, but like in like growth mode, and when you're doing things that you make mistakes, and it's hard, you know. Also, jewelry is so interesting. It's such an interesting business to be in when you're dealing with precious metals and you're dealing with pieces that are so personal. That deal with, you know, people, you know, it's to represent things, people they love, people that they've lost, like everything. That there's something about a jewelry client that they feel, and I understand why. I don't want it to seem negative, but there's an entitlement that jewelry clients have because of the amount of money that they're spending, and it's valid. And so you have to make sure that there is that high touch of customer service. And sometimes you miss, and sometimes you don't get it perfect. And sometimes it's, you know, also, people, you know, treat jewelry differently than clothing. And it's like, you know, we know that you wore that ring in the water and the chlorine and you know, and they want a new one. And you have to, there's a you know, a scale that you have to make sure that you're sort of, you know, or a tightrope that you're sort of walking to make sure that you don't lose that customer, but, you know, also make sure the customer is aware of how to care for the jewelry properly, or, you know, my dog ate my necklace, can I have another one for free? You know, those kind of things.
Yeah, I feel like you're much more tactful in your language that you use, because we deal with this all the time where it's all like, I wore this blazer and like, I absolutely did something wrong, but will you send me another one? And it's like, maybe, I don't know, yes, you know, like, what's the right answer? And we're navigating that constantly, and it's like you're trying to err on the side of the customer, you know?
You know what you need to do is that ribbon around the back that I just got a, Johnson Simkai just sent me a dress, and he has this ribbon that goes around that if the ribbon is cut off, and it's the entire length of the dress, and it literally just says Simkai, and so you should have it, it says Argent, that goes all the way down the back, so they literally can't wear the suit, and it has to, or through the sleeve.
Totally.
But like, they can't wear it and return it.
Right. But if tags are removed, they will email and ask for it to be returned. You know, like, they're going to, you'll know, say, you have a hard no. I'm not a hard no. I don't know what that says about me. I feel like it's like, well, that sensitivity.
It's not even me. It's my customer service team. And we try to give them the freedom to make those judgments themselves.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Same. But this is like a hot button for me. Cause I'm
because they can re-tag that tag. They got tagging guns.
Yeah, and it's like I want to make sure that we're, like, you know, providing excellent customer service at all times, but I also don't want to be exploited.
If it's worn, it's worn. No, you should not be. I think you should run a ribbon through the sleeve or something, or do something the way that they did, because you can't, if you cut that off, you can't. And then also another brand had a tag on the exterior that
Yes.
It was like, you have to cut. I was like, that's genius.
Yeah. These are things I can action right away. Jennifer Fisher has been worn by many fashion icons. I'm just going to name a few, but I can imagine the list is like, you couldn't even list it because it's so many people. But Rihanna, Sarah Jessica Parker, Zendaya, Michelle Obama, to name truly just a few of the many, many, many. Is there a celeb moment or like some sort of iconic moment that meant the most to you?
It never gets old, and it's always amazing. Was there a celebrity moment? When Beyonce opened the Grammys in a pair of my earrings, because you don't know when these things are going to happen. You know, you just don't know when these kind of moments, you know, when Rihanna shows up on her Super Bowl ad, you know, that Mel Ottenberg, the amazing Mel Ottenberg, styled her in my silver Maeve hoops, and she had this incredible hair. Like, the moments never get old, and they're all important in different ways, if that makes sense. Like,
totally.
You know, I just heard like yesterday, like, an amazing singer is going to be wearing our hoops in her new music video. And like, you know, you're always grateful, and you're grateful to the stylist, but you're also just like, it never gets old. And you never are above it. At least I'm not. I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker at the Met Ball twice, and like, we worked on, and you know, Priyanka Chopra at the Met Ball, and like, custom Ralph Lauren that I wore. I mean, there's just so many fun moments. You know, Kristen Wiig showing up at the Golden Globes in fashion jewelry on the red carpet, like, things like that. You just don't, and you don't know until it happens.
Yeah, I feel the exact same. It is like, it's something I'm so grateful for, and we learn so much about people through our jobs. Like, mm-hmm. I just see intentionality with a lot of the choices that are made to support female-founded brands. To like, I feel like they have to love the product, so let's be clear. But I also have seen people really go out of their way to be supportive. Actually, you're one of those people. I feel like you've been really intentional with supporting our brand, mm-hmm. And use your platform to do what you can to like elevate brands that
I
share.
It's really important.
Yeah.
Even like you said, like Mara, like all of these, like Diana Cohen, like all these female founders, you want to see them succeed. You know, you want that to see them, you know, explode. It's what we should be doing as women.
Completely.
I wish more people did it for me, but like, you know, it's sort of like, right? It's like, thanks. No, but I also only post and wear what I believe and what I like. I mean, we're sent a lot of things, and it's things do not get airtime unless I believe in the product and want to wear it or want to use it or think that it's a product that has efficacy of you know, beauty or, you know, anything.
So. Agree. I think that's an important point to make that is similar to the placements that you're talking about. It's like, I think that there is intentionality there, but it has to be a good product, and you have a great product, and so it can stand on its own. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes those placements are happening just because of the product. But like, sometimes there is that extra level of intentionality that like really to me is so meaningful.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you think of the nickname Queen of Hoops when you first heard it? Oh. She doesn't love it based
no,
on her
No, I love it. And I'm so grateful to the New York Times. And I really like, because you can't, they do what they want to do. And they you know, those titles are their titles. You know, it was a really amazing moment and kind of life-changing for the brand and for myself.
Okay, I misread your face then.
No, but I want to say it's sort of like a blessing and a curse, because then it's like, it's just like, you're like the queen of hoops. And I'm like, well, we have so much jewelry.
Sure.
We have fine jewelry. My brand was founded on fine jewelry that's customizable. Like, that's what we do all day long, every day. Yes, we have great hoop earrings and we've sold hundreds of thousands of them, but like, it's not just who we are. You know what I mean? Like, don't put me in a box. It was great, but it's also like, it's one of those things that sort of sticks with you.
It's so hard. Cause it is, I mean, it's iconic to have that moniker, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, and I never expected it.
And I think that is the fine line that we walk, is like, we're known for suiting. People are coming to us for suiting. That's what they think of us for. We do so much more. Like, we have a full product offering for every end of the like spectrum in terms of like casual, fully suited. Mm-hmm. But we also have like lifestyle pieces, you know? And so it's like, I think the question I would love to ask you is, how do founders think about that? Because I do think being focused and being known for something has a ton of value. And that's like, that can be a business driver. Like, those can be your, you know, those can be the foundation of a business, right? So like, we have a core suiting offering. That's what the business is built on, black mm-hmm. and navy suiting. Mm-hmm. But I also don't want people to come to my website and be dismissive and say, oh, I don't wear this, so I'm opting out. And because I work at like Apple and, you know, mm-hmm. only wear blazers mm-hmm. and jeans. You're like, no, it's here. So for you, it's like, people are thinking hoops. And, you know, how do you think about that, I
mean,
guess?
They're not always thinking hoops, but it is definitely like the gold hoop. Like, that's what people kind of come to the website for. Or they come if they have a milestone in their life and they want to represent a new child or a marriage or something important, or, you know, like I said, something they've lost, or even just to get a great gold chain. You know, not a lot of people just sell great gold chains. But I think it is important to constantly remind your customer, and also just like out there on social, that you do all of these other things. You know, it's so important. And, you know, every campaign that we shoot everything again, including salt and fragrance. So we make sure that we are shooting into and like constantly reminding the customer that these products do exist. And it's interesting, since you are a businesswoman and a founder, you would appreciate it's about 6% of people that buy salt go on to buy jewelry. So it's an amazing customer acquisition tool that...
Oh, it's a gateway. Yeah,
it's the gateway drug. So it's literally like, we've got kids at camp taking it to camp that won't eat their food without it. Like,
wait, for our listeners, tell them what the salt is. Sorry.
So I have a line of edible salts, not bath salts, which sometimes people think. I started in 2017 because I live with Hashimoto's, and my endocrinologist wanted me to be eating protein in the morning, and I couldn't find anything to put on my eggs. And I literally just made a concoction, left it on the side of the stove, and one day, you know, because I've just always been on Instagram, people were posting their egg avocado toast when it was huge and like it first, you know, was launched basically. And I put mine up and I had a poached egg. And in the comments, it was before DMs, everybody was like, oh my God, you can cook, first of all. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't I cook? I'm a mom and I, what?
Like, what?
That was weird. But then it's like, well, what is the seasoning you have on top of your eggs? And I would tell everybody, oh, it's the salt that I made. And then my friends who were editors started reaching out saying, what is this salt? Are you going to start selling it? And then everyone wanted to start buying it. And I was like, oh God, I'm suddenly in the CPG business. So my husband and I figured out how to package it, get it made. I mean, in the beginning, I was literally at the salt co-packer, like grating the lemon rind zest myself and like dehydrating it and then mixing it in. I was literally doing it in like a hairnet. No, for real, when we first started. And now, I mean, we've got 4 different flavors of salts. It comes in bags, it comes in jars, it comes in gift sets. And then that led me into doing, you know, I have 2 different Instagrams. I've got Jennifer, well, 3. I've got Jennifer Fisher Jewelry, which is the jewelry. I've got Maiden, which was Jennifer Fisher Kitchen, because the food really came like, got popular during COVID, because I was shipping packages at work, but also at night I was cooking and just started cooking and posting it. And it literally, like, I was putting it first on the jewelry account, so then I had to start the other account. Now it's called Maiden, because that's where the food content now lives. maeDYN.com.
Yep.
And it's just sort of, it's interesting. And so sometimes people don't know that I make jewelry. They just buy the salt. Some people, they've been gifted the salt and don't realize it's Jennifer Fisher, the jewelry designer.
I mean, this is fantastic.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, who knew it would be an acquisition
Who knew?
Channel, yeah.
I know, it's kind of wild.
Yeah, I also love hearing you talk about how hands-on you are, because mm-hmm. I do think that is like the myth of starting a company, is it's like we glamorize it, and you're very public too, you know, but like you're just in there, and we're all, I think the good founders are in there at every level, like very familiar with like what's happening, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard when you start to scale and you've got, you know, small, multiple stores, and you want to make sure that you're still staying in contact and, you know, trying to kind of, but I'm in the office every day. And I am like, I'm doing it every day. We are there in meetings. We are, you know, it's packaging. It's whatever it is. It's not like I'm sitting on the top of this, you know, hill somewhere. I mean, I am in the office every day working my ass off. And it's, I love it.
And that's how you learn about what's going on too. As you scale and you remove yourself from certain aspects of the business, like you're checking in with the folks that are owning them. And when you're there, you're like not missing those major issues, you know? And otherwise, I think you can lose sight of some of the things that are happening.
Yeah. Yeah, but to your point also, which is interesting though, you sort of do have to remove yourself. Like at one point, I was the face of the website because I convert a lot for the brand. But we had to, you know, when we were going through like fundraising, it's like people were like, well, if you die, you know, you are the brand. You need to start separating yourself a little bit from being the front facing person of the brand so much. And so we really started to kind of pull myself back and bring back in models and, but I'm still there, you know, doing the ads and doing all the stuff. It's cause it converts.
The fact that you're, and we heard you say this on another podcast too, the number one converter for the brand.
Yes.
Is fascinating.
Well, it's interesting too to watch through ShopMy how I convert from the brand, because I try to take that data now. So instead of just linking from the website without having data of where it's coming from, I'm linking via my ShopMy so I can see who I'm really pushing into the website. I mean, obviously it's my brand. I don't get commission on it, but I want to see the data of what I'm moving, you know?
Can you imagine if you had it set up on a commission structure for yourself?
Can you imagine? I probably should. No, it's kind of amazing though, but it's interesting to see the content of me styling really, really does well on other people. And it's just, I have a great female marketing team. They're incredible and they come up with great ideas and, you know, executing just sort of this, the reality of doing all of this stuff is what works. It's like this dream world of, you know, celebrity land of jewelers. Yes, that works for like, you know, a lot of, you know, heritage brands. That's fantastic. But for what we're doing, since the brand is, you know, so multifaceted, being in it is important still in a way.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've got a question about social media because I want to stay there a little bit. And then I also want to talk about Maiden.
Great.
So I'm going to build off of both of the things we were just talking about. So for those that don't follow you on social media, they really are missing out. So I do want to reiterate that point because you really do represent your brand wholly. We see Workday, and I mean, you're talking about now your home life. We look inside your closet, how you style your pieces. You're the biggest converter, as we just talked about. As a founder, has your social media been a strategy to bring people into the brand? Was that an organic move, or how did that?
It's totally organic. Like half the stuff I'm like, is this gonna stick? Like but people were asking for it. And I just started putting myself out there a little bit more. You know, I'm like, I walk my dog, I do this. Like, this is all like, I'm a real human being that I live my life and have struggles and my life is not perfect. And, you know, I have good days and bad days. And I also, the Maiden thing, which we'll talk about too, mm-hmm. you know, for a lot of my community of people, they were asking for it. So, and I really try, they're like really my people, like on the Jennifer Fisher account, not the jewelry account. Like I'm really like talking to those people all day long. And they asked me, you know, mom advice. They asked me advice about what to wear. I was sending links to some woman earlier. She needed something to wear to her son's graduation and she wasn't sure which dress. And I was like, get this one, you know, and not for my link, even just, you know, this is what you should do. I talk about my hair growth issues. I talk about plastic surgery. I talk about everything. Like being honest and being real is so much easier than being fake. So I think it's just better just to kind of like, this is who I am. And if you don't like it, that's fine. There's millions of people in the world that will or won't, and you can't take it personally.
Genuinely, one of the most important qualities you need to have in starting a business, especially a consumer facing business, thick skin.
Yeah, the thickest skin. the thickest skin. And it's funny, there's something about turning 50, I'm 54 now, there's something about turning 50 that you really like don't give a fuck anymore. Like you really are kind of like, okay, this is who I am. And it's not, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not, this is just what it is. It is what it is. I'm midlife and this is hopefully, you know, this is.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, take it or leave totally. It. And I don't need to apologize for who I am. And I don't need your validation either.
Absolutely not. But that's what people are buying into. It's that authenticity. It's that connection with you. It's, but also removing yourself is interesting too. So like, that's the question I want to ask as a founder, where the expectation is that we are available and authentically sharing mm-hmm. ourselves, but you're scaling a business too, and you can't yep. be completely tied to it in that way. So like, how do you think about that? How do you think about what's the best approach as a founder to social? And then what's the best approach to just like that, you know, walking that line?
Well, I think most founders are going to have to implement AI into it, and it has to happen. Like AI assistant, there has to be something that knows you and is your voice that can answer questions that aren't necessarily questions that I need to answer personally. So yeah. I think integrating AI into social is the first thing that most people need to be working on right now, is building those assistants that like, will
to do for me
that will yeah we're actually like talking about that right now, and I don't want to lose that touch with everybody, and because I really enjoy speaking to them, but there are questions that come through that I don't need to answer, and there are responses that come through that I don't need to answer. Yes. And it's time consuming.
Yes.
So I think that being able to use AI for some of that is going to be game changing for me, especially having three accounts. You know, I have my team in-house, in my marketing team, handles Jennifer Fisher Jewelry now, and we're trying to make it less, used to be me like drunk with my friends
yeah,
out,
girl.
Like, yeah, like, Jen, we got to reel it a little bit. No. So now it looks more polished and it's more brand oriented, and it's definitely, you know, it feels, so at Jennifer Fisher, where you can go and see all of that stuff. So that's, it lives there now. So not on the jewelry brand.
Yeah, it's funny. It is like such a tightrope, because I also, I'll have like really down days and really hard days where like 21 boxes are somewhere at customs, but like we may have lost them, you know, stuff like yeah. that. We're like, huh, well, that's interesting. But then you get these like posts from people and like feedback from people. I just had this huge presentation. I wore your clothing. Like, here's a picture. It's such a gift. Like, to me, that is the thing that keeps me going through all of the hardship. And so to have that relationship is just like, it's invaluable. It means a ton.
Me too.
You know?
Someone sent me flowers yesterday and was like, I just want to thank you for what you do and say and being so responsive to me. And like, it's just like, it's so nice to have that community of people.
Especially
I just want to make
now.
It bigger. Like, I really love, and it's not about selling product. It's just like, it's such a nice ecosystem of people that are supportive, and I support them. They support me. It's just, it's fantastic. It's like having all of these hundreds of thousands of friends that maybe, and that's when the book tour was really great. We can talk about that later, but
that's
like
being
able to meet everyone on the book tour was the most incredible experience I've ever had in my life. Like, I can't wait to go out and do more. We're going to do more for Trust Your Gut. But then we're also talking about the next cookbook. We had a call about it yesterday. We're going to do another one, but the book tours and being able to meet everybody in person, and like, I'm so-and-so, and it's like, and they're like, I'm this on Instagram. I'm like, oh my God, we talk all the time. How are you? It's just, it's so nice to meet everybody. It's really awesome.
Especially now. I think like the thread of AI that we're talking about, leveraging that to free up your personal time and finding these opportunities to connect in real life. It's like, how do we pivot now to think about technology as a tool that is additive, that allows us to step into these relationships and like build community and be with one another and like optimize our lives offline versus just being glued to our screens? I think that's sort of like the way that we're thinking about it. And I think that we're all recognizing the need to just connect in person, and there's such a desire for it now.
Yeah, I think live events and I think all of the in-person meetups is sort of where it's at. I just invested in something that I'm really, really excited about that is going to be geared around. I think live shopping is like, I can't wait to get moving on it and going on it. And I'm hopeful that I will be doing that very soon, because I think that is where everything is going. Mm-hmm. But it's an exciting time to see. And I think people shouldn't be fearful of AI. I think some people are. Yes, people are afraid it's going to take their jobs. And I think you have to lean into, you know, how can this help me be more productive? And actually, how can this help just the business in general, and not worry about it so much? People are really fearful about it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think to bring it back to community, having a physical product is such a gift, because it's like you're rooted in something that requires people to come back, not necessarily, but like the expectation or our hope is that people are coming back for that.
Right, hopefully.
But it is like this, it's for us, we see it as like our armor that we're giving people, but to connect around
too,
that.
I use that word too.
Oh, yay. Yes. Okay.
Yes. I love using that
connecting term. Through that. It's just a safe conversation starter. It like really means a ton. It's like really a special, easy place to start, or like a jumping off point. Okay. Now we're going to the book. So trust your gut. I want to talk about it and the Maiden platform. I know that we've like talked around it, but I want to talk about what they are and how these brands like live alongside your jewelry brand. And when it comes to branching out into new parts of your business, especially to topics that feel personal around health and wellness, was there ever any hesitation in terms of sharing your personal life, or did it just feel like?
You know, I was already sharing so much.
Totally. But,
and I think, you know, with the salt and my Hashimoto's journey and all of that, and it kind of came out of, I built my Beverly Hills store sight unseen during COVID. And when it was time to open, we were still having to quarantine for 10 days. And that's when I started, I would take a bunch of books and I would be at the hotel reading. And I read a book that changed my life, Will Cole, Ketotarian. He actually wrote the introduction to my book. He's an incredible doctor. That's a telehealth. He's incredible. Anyone can use him. They don't have to be in Pennsylvania to see him, but he's really changed my life. Taught me some basic things that I was doing wrong. And I never felt good. I always felt swollen. I always felt puffy. I always felt fatigued. I always felt like my foggy. And yes, maybe it was partially age, but I think it was really food driven. I was eating, I was eating gluten free, but I wasn't eating dairy free and grain free and, gum free, seed oil free. There's so many things that I was not adapting into my life that were highly inflammatory. So by removing all of those things and learning from Will how to, I've always cooked, how to live my life and cook really easy meals that are anti-inflammatory, it changed my life. I mean, my brain fog, I was like, listen, this is restrictive. I'm going to give it 3 days. I did it for 3 days. I went to Whole Foods in my mask and I bought all the vegan cheeses because I like a little charcuterie girl dinner. You know, I got all the clean olives and crackers that are grain free. I got all the stuff. I took it back to my hotel and some I'd be like, I'll never eat that again. And someone was like, okay, I can eat this. I can do this. And I did it for 3 days. And it was like, it was literally like the fog was lifted from my head and my brain fog was so much better. And I felt I wasn't as puffy. My joints didn't hurt. And it was kind of incredible that it's sort of addictive. So that's how it started. And I really was cooking long before, starting in 2017 when my salts came out and we had the recipes on the website. And there was such a request constantly for recipes, like DM, do you have your recipe for this that you made? Do you have this? And that was very time consuming, more time consuming than like the clothing and shopping. That I was like, listen, we need to make a book. We need to do it. And luckily I met my editor at Abrams, Holly, and she's like, I have my oops. Like, she on our first call and I was like, okay, you're the one. And it was a really incredible experience doing that book. I hired Ina Garten's photographer, Quentin Bacon, because Ina Garten was one of the first cookbooks that I ever cooked from. Although I do love Martha Stewart. She gave me a quote. She's my girl and we're friendly. I've been on her podcast and I'm going up to her house in May to shoot content.
Amazing. Okay, all of that is amazing.
She's like the coolest.
Oh, she's so cool. I met her one time and she just leaned over and she was like, I'm a size, I won't say it, but I was like, okay, I got you, Martha. like she's just so direct and unapologetic and like everything to me.
She's a badass.
It's like, that's the blueprint for women. Just like, just do you.
Yeah.
This relationship, everything. She's been like so accessible though. And I feel like she's so supportive and she's so pay it forward to the right person. You're a good match.
I agree. Like I got lucky. Like I met her through Daisy, her makeup artist. She's like one of my good friends. And like, we like connected and we have the same dermatologist. And like, it's just like, it was just like,
it all makes sense.
Yeah. It's back to the book.
Yeah.
We did it in a year. We shot it in a week. I had amazing people working on it. It was literally it was so great to be able to be so freely creative outside of jewelry and food. And to do it, I mean, I was there every day on set, maybe there's two recipes that I missed because we did that I don't love the photos because I wasn't there, but like, I was there doing it the entire time and it was such an amazing process.
So we've got the book, Trust Your Gut, which we'll put a link in show notes. We've got Maiden and obviously Jennifer Fisher. We've got Jennifer Fisher salts for part of this. Can you tease what's coming next? I feel like you just touched on maybe another book coming. Is that what I heard?
Another book is coming.
When is that?
I don't know yet because we have to get it. We just had our first call yesterday. I love to wear glasses and eyewear. I dabbled in home when I did my CB2 collaboration just into COVID. So maybe some things are coming there a little bit.
That's great.
We also maybe some men's, some things, some silver.
So pretty quiet
working,
time.
We're working out. Yeah, I'm pretty, I'm not busy right now at all. I'm just very hanging out,
key,
you know.
Very low key.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I just want to hang out. Like, I feel like you're just full of wisdom and like you're the coolest.
Thank you.
But I do want to close out by asking for some advice. What's one thing you'd recommend an emerging fashion founder do today if they want to find success in the industry?
Stop looking around.
Oh, love that feedback. Excellent.
Stop looking around.
Mm-hmm.
Horse with blinders. Do you?
Mm-hmm. I think I live that.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary that you live that. Yeah, everyone's going to do it differently. Mm-hmm. And if you believe in yourself, just go for it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. Okay, so we've come to the end of the episode, but we do have my favorite segment, Would You Rather. Are you ready for a quick game of Would You Rather?
Yeah, good.
Would you rather start work at the crack of dawn or burn the midnight oil?
Burn the midnight oil.
Would you rather go back to school to learn a new skill or teach what you know to a class of newcomers?
Teach what I know to a class of newcomers, which I do. At Wisconsin once a year.
Oh, you do?
I do.
How does that work?
I do. My friend Rob Master has a class, and it's called Forces of Nature, and I come in and I just sort of talk about business and my brand building and marketing and how to build a brand, and it's really fun.
That's actually my dream.
Oh, it's so great.
I really love that you do that.
Okay. Oh, you should go do his class.
I mean, I would love to.
Okay, great. I'll introduce
yes.
you.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Would you rather launch the next best-selling jewelry product or best-selling food item?
Best-selling jewelry product.
Would you rather be in front of the camera or behind the scenes?
Both.
Would you rather only answer emails with emojis or only answer calls on FaceTime?
Oh, God. I hate both. I don't get the FaceTime thing. You know what I don't like about the FaceTime thing? Is I'm busy moving around. Like, I can't sit still and talk to you or hold my camera.
But that's the thing. You're not supposed to. You don't have to. I think that's how the kids do it now. They just
my kids are, constantly FaceTiming me. I'm like, guys.
But you don't have to be on it, do you? You could just
no, but I hate it when you look at they put it and it's like the ceiling. I'm come on, why? Just call me.
Yeah, totally.
What's the point?
Would you rather accidentally leave your mic unmuted or your camera on?
Oh God, that's a good one. probably camera on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Would you rather become a fashion founder in the 2000s or in the present day?
In the 2000s.
Jennifer, I'm obsessed with you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be sure, as I mentioned, to put info in the show notes so our listeners can learn more about you, your brand, and all the things.
And everyone needs this tuxedo. It's literally my new favorite thing. It's amazing, and it's so comfortable. I love it. Everyone must have it.
Thanks for listening to Work Friends, a podcast from Argent. Listen and follow on all podcast platforms. Subscribe to the Argent YouTube channel for more clips and bonus content. And follow us on Instagram @Argent for all the latest. And before you go, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating and leave a comment. It means so much to us. I'm Sally Christensen, and we'll see you next time.
Work Friends.
Work Friends is produced by Gina Marinelli with editing by Ryan Woldoff. Our theme music is by Karina DePiano and Melanie Naima. This episode was recorded at Podstream Studios in New York, New York.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download, and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.